Good morning. It's a real honor and privilege to speak to you this morning. I think Paul asked me to speak to us all because, those of you who don't know, Sophie, my wife, and I have a little daughter, Phoebe, 6 months old. And so obviously that qualifies me to, I'm an expert now on fatherhood. I can assure you from the start, I'm far from it. But when I was preparing for this morning, I felt actually quite challenged about what to say. And those of you who don't know, Soph and I and Phoebe live and work at Old Sarum and Longhedge, and we're part of an amazing community up there that's trying to be intentional and missional to the people around us. But that's just part-time. The rest of my time, I work for a youth organization, Southwest Youth Ministries. And our passion and vision is to see every young person and child have the opportunity to encounter and know Jesus. Remembered it. And this is something I'm really passionate about. Since I sort of left church and youth group, I've always been involved in some sort of youth work or in one form or another. And I think God has called me to work alongside young people and youth workers, and there's a real passion there. The reason I'm sharing this is because I think God has asked me to talk from maybe a heart of a youth worker rather than the heart of a father this morning. So on that note, can we just pray as we come and open God's word? Yeah, Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you so much that you've called us together this morning. Lord, we pray that you would move in us, through us. Lord, be in our midst as we gather. We pray that we would go from this place transformed more into your likeness. Pray you'd help us to be better fathers, better mothers, better families, better extended families, church. Lord, we just pray that you would speak to us now. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Do people appreciate the dad jokes at the start? There wasn't a bit of a tough crowd, I was getting the feeling. Don't worry, I have got a couple of dad jokes. I like as well how before I became a dad, they were just terrible jokes, but now they're dad jokes. They're almost sort of another, they're okay, you qualify them. So, what do you call it when Batman doesn't go to church? Christian Bale. Oi, yes. My dad was interrogated the other day over the theft of a cheese toastie. They really grilled him. Thank you. Anyway, that's enough of that. Like I said, I'm relatively new to the dad game, and I've merely dipped my toes in the parent pool. So I just want to give a big shout out to all the dads out there. You're doing such an incredible and important job. This morning, though, I want us to think about spiritual fathers, not necessarily biological fathers, but spiritual fathers. Just pause with me for a moment and think about someone you look up to. It doesn't have to be a man, it could be a woman, or anyone. Someone that you aspire to, and you think quite highly of. Think about what is it about them that draws you to them. Why do you look up to them? What is it about them? Bear that person in the back of your mind, I guess, for this morning, and just think about them as we think about this passage. So the passage, I just want to focus on two verses, really. But what's going on? Paul is writing to a church in Corinth, which is what we know as Greece today, and he planted it not that long before he wrote the letter. So we know they're a new and young church, full of young and new believers. Paul wants to go and see them and encourage them, but he feels like God's telling him to stay where he is. So he sends his helper, Timothy, to visit them. The two verses I want to focus on are verse 15 and 16. Verse 15 says, "Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel." Just quickly, Paul is talking about guardians here. He's talking, the word is quite hard to translate, but we could understand it as a tutor. It was someone who back then would take a child to school and back, would have them recite their lines, would teach them good manners. Guardians was essentially tell you what to do and what not to do. Now, these people are needed. We know this. But Paul is saying they have plenty of people ready to tell them what to do and what not to do. What they needed, and what I want to suggest to us, is we need spiritual fathers. Verse 16, "Therefore I urge you to imitate me." The role of the father was greater than the guardian. There was a personal devotion and a love there. In the ancient world, it was common for fathers to pass on their trade to their sons by modeling it. We know if we look at Jesus, he was a carpenter like his father Joseph, like father, like son. Paul is doing the same here. Imitate me as their father. Now, I'm addressing men, but the research and everything else goes to show it's men and women who need to say, imitate me. We need men and women not just to say what's right and what's wrong to our young people and children, but to show them how to live a life of disciple, to model it, to walk alongside us and our children. Perhaps you've heard of the African proverb, it takes a village to raise a child. I want to adapt it slightly and say it actually takes a church to raise a child. I found this to be very true with our little daughter, Phoebe, only 6 months old, and so far we've felt incredibly blessed by you guys, the church, through meals and prayer, support, encouragement, a helping hand here and there. You've lifted us up when we've felt weak and the sleepless nights have felt relentless. And that's really exciting for all of us, that our children, our young people get to grow up in a community that look out for one another, that nurture after each other. The point is, youth work cannot be left solely to a youth worker or the children's worker. As tempting as that is, our young people do need youth workers and children's workers and cubs and scouts leaders, but they need more than that. They need all of us to care about them, to pray for them, to spot their gifts, encourage them. They need spiritual fathers and mothers looking out for them, who aren't just their own children. When I'm doing some youth work across the Southwest, when you see a young person with a resilient faith, you can always trace back that their church is involved widely and deeply in that young person's life. More than any program or any event, what made kids feel more likely to feel a significant part of their local church was when adults made an effort to get to know them. Children and young people need people looking out for them, talking to them about their faith, their own experiences and challenges, walking alongside them, or something as simple as sending a birthday card, or as deliberate as mentoring, an invitation maybe to play a game of pool, or even sit next to a young person in a church service. Now, I'm not saying spiritual fathers have to be the embodiment of perfection 24/7. We all know that the road of a follower of Jesus isn't a smooth one. It contains stumbling, falling down, suffering, asking for forgiveness, repentance. It's hard. It's almost as hard. I don't know why I wrote this down. It's almost as hard as trying to cut a baby's toenails. I think obviously at the time I was thinking, what's hard? That's it. So this week I had to cut Phoebe's toenails and she was screaming and it, yeah. I don't know what's harder really, but there you go. But seriously, our children and young people need integrity. They need a community, a church of spiritual fathers and mothers willing to commit themselves to the whole community and stick with one another through thick and thin. We need to make ourselves accessible and transparent. This is what a spiritual father looks like. The more we as the church of God can live in genuine and authentic community, not just as acquaintances that come together on a Sunday morning, the more we will see disciples making disciples who make disciples who make disciples. I want to finish with Paul's final verse, imitate me. These are challenging and bold words. At first glance, they may seem a little bit arrogant, but in a world where there's so many pulls and temptations, imitate me is our lifeline to our Heavenly Father who loves us and longs to walk alongside us. Young people need a positive and consistent and mature Christian to imitate all aspects of daily life. This means that our discipleship impacts the next generation. This is both encouraging and terrifying. But the challenge is there for all of the church. We are all called to be spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers. Young people don't need hip and trendy youth workers. Sorry, Dan. Just look at Paul's example here. Just in the verses before, Paul calls himself the scum of the earth. Paul's not trying to be hip and trendy. Paul is recklessly abandoned to the cause of Jesus. He is passionate about Jesus. We need men who are serious about their faith. Spiritual fathers always have their eyes over the community. Spiritual father does not say, well, we've got a leadership team, we've got a youth worker or a children's worker, they'll take care of my children's faith, or they'll take care of that person's faith. We ourselves need to ensure that people, especially young people and children, are connected to this whole family we call church. With the birth of Phoebe, I'm now part of a club that I wasn't before. I can say things that I've always wanted to say back to my parents, such things as like, oh, they grew up so fast, or eat your greens, or I'm going to count to three, .. One of my favorites was always quoted to me was, oh, were you born in a barn? But, I would much rather be a community of men and women that say, imitate me. Young people today have millions of people telling them what is wrong. What is wrong, this is right, this is, don't do this, don't do that. But who will conduct themselves like a father and stand up and say to those around us in this extended family, imitate me. I have found the way. I'm not perfect, but I'm trying. I know Jesus' voice. I walk with him daily, and I long to see more of him in my life and yours. So with that challenge in mind, I just want to invite the men of the church, if you're willing and able, just to stand, and it'd be great just to pray for you as we accept this challenge to be part of God's church, to be men who look out for the church and those around us. So, if you're willing and if you're able, just stand up, and it'd be great just to pray for you.